cannot necessarily, you certainly don't expect them to improve very much, and you've got to expect them to taper off a little bit. So when you're interpreting your readouts and you see 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, you've got to say, did that horse peak? Now, the degree of ease with which the race was won is a good tip-off. It was won easily, the horse still has condition left. It was won difficultly, and I don't mean a stretch duel difficultly. I mean, did he really stretch it, extend the times that he runs by a considerable margin? Not the difficulty of the race relative to being pushed by another horse, but did he run faster than he ever run before? So look for peaks. And if you have a habit pattern of your third choice winning, I would suggest you not fight it. That third choice isn't your third choice anymore, is it? Just as easy as that. Don't let the numbers determine the choice. Let your reasoning determine which choice it is. If you do a Brohammer model, and the Brohammer model says that the top 3 or 4 W can win this race, don't throw out number 4 or 3 W. Look at the other readouts, how they match up. Any questions on how to use this engine more widely than our original discussion of it as a results chart?
Right. This engine program, is that automatically put in the right style?
No, that puts it in for you. Everything you see on that page is automatically done by the computer. Right before your very eyes, especially if you have a... It's on all computers, but of course this is an IBM readout. On the handheld calculators, you get a vertical readout and not a horizontal because they just don't have wide enough paper. But you still get the same facts. And the running style is very, very appropriate because it's a running style according to our algorithms and not... Don't come to me and say that the program has got a bug in it because the horse that it says is a sustained pace presser goes wire to wire. His running style is sustained pace presser. The fact he went wire to wire is linear and visual. We're not dealing with linear visual things now. This takes the place of having to do your ESPs. And these ESPs are more accurate based on what your program is going to produce for you. But this should solve your problems. People come to my office and I just turn on the old IBM and stick the race through this, and I say, well, look at the race. You got one early in this. You got a lone early horse in this race. Or you've got this horse. All these horses are sustained. So the sustained horse that can run the fastest early should win it. You got one early horse. If that horse doesn't die in the third fraction, he should win it. So the mix and match of the race is pre-done for you. And that alone should provide great support. Any questions about this program? Yes, sir. Mark?
Can you mix distances in with this? Is there any way that you can do that?
Oh, sure. Yes. You won't get, you know, this is for your handicapping or preview of the race. By all means, you can mix distances. What you do is when it says today's distance, you put in today's distance, regardless of what it is. Then, with each individual horse, when it says distance, you put in the distance of the pace line you're using. So what it does is it weights them all against today's distance. It's an extra feature.
Is there any open adjustment in there, or is that out of your code?
We don't want an open adjustment in there.
Okay, it's raw.
It's raw. See, the problem with North American handicappers, if you leave the opportunity to adjust, they'll adjust. And that's where your losers come from. And I know a guy said, if you take away my adjustments, you take away my life. I'd rather lose with my adjustments than your damn program. So it's man's right to trifle with that poor animal who's just doing his best for you out there. But we try to deny you that potential. Because if you look at Brohammer's variance, you'll see they're not these prodigiously 3.8 and 17.6 and things like that. They're very minute. And often you'll do as well raw. But you should know the raw figures. That's the thing I don't like about synergism, is that if you accept the adjustment, you get the adjustment. You have no idea how large it was, And you have no idea of what it did to distort the raw numbers. But there was not enough room in the smaller computers to give it to you both ways, so that's what it is. But people are winning with it, so who am I to complain? Any other questions on this? Look for moves, folks. The most important element of horse racing is a move. Look especially for second fraction moves, turn time moves. If you see a horse that's declining, that's decelerating faster than normal, and don't, you know, you're all smart enough to know what normal is by just looking at a few races. When you see a deceleration that starts on the turn, it's only going to get worse usually. When you see a horse that can hold his own on the turn, then you've got a horse whose behavior pattern is designed toward winning. In maiden races, which you'll get this in Tom's book, even James Quinn came along to use this feature. Maidens usually loaf on the turn when they win. When a maiden goes into a race with winners, the winners usually put the maiden away on the turn, even though the maiden's win time when it won it broke its maiden was faster than the time of those horses that it's running against as a winner today. Maidens takes a long time to develop on the turn sometimes. If you want to know how to play maiden races where you are willing to overlook first-time starters and take your chances, or maiden races for inveterate maidens where all of them have enough lines, establish a win par, a turn time win par. Just establish one for your track. Take it, you know, if it's a maiden claimer, figure a claiming price about a half of that. If it's a straight maiden, figure kind of the average at your track. What's win par average turn time? Now, when you see a maiden who's running close to win par average on the turn, that's the maiden who's most likely to succeed. There are lots of ways of evaluating maiden races, so don't eliminate the other ways of evaluating those who are coming close to a win, third, second, fourth, within two lengths and all that stuff. But anytime you see a maiden's turn time, which is close to win par at your track, that's the maiden most likely to escape from the field and win. Maidens are fun to play. Play them from a separate bank. And if you keep maiden times on this engine, be sure you just have maidens. Don't mix them. Make a science out of playing maidens like you play anything else if you want to play them. Since I had a handicap at the track, I love the maiden races because it gives you a chance to catch up a little bit. But if you handicap at home and you have a little time on your hands, you might make a study out of maidens. And we would appreciate any research. We had a thing by Bruce Jorgensen. He discovered some things about winning maiden races in the follow-up. Okay, now I think we've... Any other questions we can answer for you individually or whatever?
Are you going to talk about the harness?
I'll talk about the harness. The harness program, I will not... I'm not a harness expert. You can buy the... or have the program free, as far as I'm concerned. It's good, but you can do much better with harness with your thoroughbred programs. Just ask Jimmy how to enter the times. But, hey, folks, a harness race, I cannot say about harness races what I can about thoroughbreds. They're not clean. They're trying. They're trying. I addressed the harness races of track owners of America. And I know they're trying to clean it up, but it's not clean, and the mutuals aren't high enough, and it doesn't give you that marvelous reward that you are, that other race that's thoroughbred is to me. And so therefore, ask me any questions about harness races. I can win them, but I don't know why. And I don't feel that wonderful glorification that I'm living in the lands of the gods when I handicap harness races. I feel I'm with a bunch of slobs. But if you want our program, we'll give it to you free.
And the Meadowlands is okay. The mutuals are pretty good, and it's a one-turn mile. I mean, a two-turn mile instead of a four-turn mile. And you can, the methodologies program work pretty well at the Meadowlands, just as is.
Well, they work very well.
But you know,
when the races aren't fixed.
Sports like this.
Anytime you have to worry about how much air is in the tire, it kind of takes away the glamour, you know. But I have nothing against it, really. To me, they're just like anything else. It's a commodity, but I don't feel that I am an expert in it. Therefore, the best I can give you is an ivory-covered tower theory. And I don't like that. But you can have the program as be my guest.
Final fraction energy rating. Make some comments about that.
Final fraction energy rating? Oh, you mean the final fraction rating? Yeah, I made a comment about it yesterday, but of course, you being from Australia, I suppose we have to do it again now for you, huh? Hi, good night. Final fraction energy rating is merely a device to attract your attention to the fact that there is a third fraction. There was always a third fraction in the race. There was always a second fraction in the race, but some handicappers discover them late. I wrote down always on my races form the third fraction. I didn't use the rating, but I used the third fraction. I knew what was an adequate third fraction from keeping a track profile or just from observation. What could win and what couldn't win at the distance relative to the matchup. A lot of people were saying, whoa, wee, looky there, they got the matchup. Oh, he's in the lead at the second call. Man, he's going to take this race. They believed Quirin that Early was winning all the races. They believed that Belmont ran like Aqueduct and Churchill ran like Santa Anita. They didn't realize that the third fraction has great import at certain tracks and less import under certain circumstances at other tracks. What they were looking for was a minimum third fraction, and they applied a rating to it by the time, that could win at the distance based on their track profile. And it saved a lot of people from betting on false early horses because it was there. But what you do on this program here is you merely determine what is a minimal third fraction you allow. The best way to use it is, in my estimation, is when a horse has to go wire to wire, when a horse has to have the lead, how often has he won? And when he does win, what was the velocity of his third fraction? If today's race produces a matchup where horses very slightly behind this horse at the second call have a third fraction that is faster than their deficiency at the second call, this horse is not going to get away necessarily with running away with the race because his deficiency, we know he's 26-2. That's, he's never run faster than 26-2 if we're talking about a sprint in the third fraction. Can he get away today with running a 26-2? Can he win getting away with that? And if he can't, then we know that we've beat the front runner. If you can eliminate the front runner from your thinking, you're halfway home right at the beginning. If you can say, can this horse go wire to wire in today's field? And the third fraction gives you the tip off. All right, mate. You're Canadian now. Have you been naturalized in Canada? Stick from down under there. Maybe we had Chuck Cook to naturalize you.
No, we don't want Australians.
Charles Cook's a distinguished member of the Canadian Parliament. And he sent me the parliamentary record in which he gets up in Parliament and he defends horse racing and horse race betting. Now, can you imagine that in our Senate? And you hear in the background, here. So the Canadians have a much more enlightened view of our chosen avocation than the American Congress.
On the other hand, hockey is the national sport. Works both ways.
Back to lacrosse.
Is it really lacrosse?
Yeah, honestly.
You're both drinking.
That's yeah. Australian.
Well, lacrosse, nice and gentle game as opposed to hockey. Yeah.
Any country that will give you Wayne Gretzky, you got to think nicely of
that. That's true. That's true.
Right,
yeah, right. And the Mounties.
Now we've won, as I say, with the largest percentage of pure winners in this group than any seminar probably we've ever had, except for the smaller energy seminars where everybody's a winner. But the thing we have to worry about now is we're winning. Is that enough? My wife never thought it was enough. She said, 173% today. Bought everybody at the track to dinner and drinks. Boy, it was great. Have any money, honey? No, no. Well, you can always make money, dear. It's the thrill of victory that counts. I'd sure like to see some of that money. So, I read my dear friend Huey Moll. He kept every week that persistently saying the Kelly criterion. And I kept saying, well, I'll start tomorrow. And then you look at the card and say, well, today's not a real good card to start that. I think I'll just bet flat bet today. And then you say, it's time now to practice the discipline that you try to teach others. So after a couple of years testing and finally proving that I could win virtually every 20 race cycle, I literally, folks, literally bit the bullet, because it is tough the first time. But once you start properly manage your money, you will take as much thrill out of the discipline of proper money management, portfolio betting, as you now get from successfully handicapping. But it takes that discipline. So in sequence, first, Dan Duran has a short presentation, which in itself is a miraculous event. Dan's just getting $5,000 a day for 10 hours. He says he can do this in 10 minutes. And then Richard Schmidt is going to tell you the pathetic story of his own life. how he went with a simple $200 into what he is today, which is a very, very good handicapper and a very astute money manager. And we're very proud of him because he is a living example of excellent money management. He's a living example of a few other things too, but the money management factor takes dominance. You have a nice breakfast, Dick?
Before breakfast at a hotel.
And then Richard Diamond, who has carried it to what I call its most sophisticated level, which is portfolio betting, will finish the session on money management. Now, if anybody would like to go to the bathroom before this starts, this would be a good time to do it, because this is probably the guts of what you really need to know. So after you get back, we'll do it. Great checkout from the desk. They'll give you permission to stay over. Bert arranged that. Monsieur, Madame Olivier, how are you this morning? Bonsoir. Money management is not a glamorous subject, and apparently not a very lucrative subject. Dick Mitchell used to be the foremost money management expert in the United States, and I went on the road with him for a year, and he found out that the crowds were more attracted to handicapping procedures than they were to money management procedures. So he saw that problem. He became a handicapping expert, which he's making a lot more money at. And the way he tells you to manage his money, I think he's a much better handicapper, actually.
Whoa.
Well, I said something nice. It's my dear friend. I wish he'd... My shoulders get a little tired, though. No, Dick Mitchell. I was talking about my dear friend, Dick Mitchell. Well, you remember when he was money management expert? You remember that far back when you used to do things
sure,
with
him? Sure.
But he found out that hammered handicap was more glamorous, and so he went into that. But
more profitable.
But the idea is, folks, that handicapping is part of the thrill, but you can get a true thrill out of money management. Because you know now that you can take what you now think of as, you've got people who are doing 57%, for instance, they feel left out and they look around, oh, 80, boy, I can only do 80. But you can, with 57%, if you manage your money correctly, the way you, the three people are going to discuss it with you now, you can make yourself a fortune. Dan Duran has decided he would prefer to go last. He has learned from Michael Pozzola that art of showmanship, which says next to closing is the best spot to be. Hi, Mike. You did a marvelous show last night. I hope you have something left over for tonight.
Yeah.
But Dick Smith's story is, I'm very proud of Dick, as you may guess. He went from a guy who had a marvelous job, suddenly lost it, and made a decision. And he wasn't as far along in his handicapping, believe me, as he is now. He was still a fledgling. This was 2 years ago, and he'd only been with us seriously since late 1984, virtually 1986. So 2 years ago was 1987. He had barely been with us a year. And he made that decision. But he made that decision on his own knowledge of his equanimity that he personally could handle the vagaries of the track and the ambience of the track and could manage his money. The story of a man who took $200 and never looked back is inspiring to me, and I'm sure it'll be even more inspiring to you, especially if you haven't heard it 80 times as I have. I give you Mr. Honesty, Dick Schmidt.
All right. Hey, come on.
Step behind and get a couple.
You may do anything you want, for you are the guru. We are mere gurus. You like that, huh?
No.
I didn't think so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yes. I always have to start off by saying good morning, even at 9 o'clock at night. Money management is really boring. And nobody ever wants to talk about it, so who gets stuck with it? But one of the reasons it's boring is because, unlike handicapping, it's not really open for discussion. There is a best way to manage your manage your money. Hey, Duran, shut up. I haven't been up that long. to manage your money, it's right there. You can look it up in a book, a real hardcover book. It's, you know, there it is. You can manage money. This is the best way. We are going to give you the best way to manage your money right here today. The discouraging part about it is I know there's not three people in this room that'll do it. Every time I do this little set piece, I wind up by saying, people, try it. And if you do, send me a copy of your records. Say, I don't care if it's good or bad. Just send them to me. Show me you're doing it. To date, I have addressed 300-400 people with this. One person has sent me the record.